in time. I'm just gonna get a little real quick. Daddy. Oh, daddy.
What's wrong? Fine, I'll go grab some meat titties today.
This call may be recorded for transmission.
Good morning.
Yvonne, we just waiting for Minister AK. How are you this morning? Happy Good Friday.
Good
oh. Hold on, Yvonne. Let's wait for Pastor AK, okay?
Okay.
Go ahead, Yvonne. Invite and welcome the people.
Good morning. Good morning. God, good all the time.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Good Friday. That is Yvonne. She's going to help greet us. Who's on the line this Good Friday and wants to say good morning until Pastor EK comes? And if not, me and Yvonne going to welcome y'all in.
Good morning, Ms.
Well, let
Carla.
Me jump in. Oh, go ahead, Carla.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, you guys. Happy Good Friday.
Happy Good Friday.
Good morning, Rochelle. Good morning, Yvonne. And yes, God is good all the time. This is D2.
Hey, hey, D2. Happy Good Friday.
Happy Good Friday, yes.
Yes, we can honestly say Jesus favored us on today. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Thank you, Jesus, the Savior of the world. Who's on the line this morning? Go ahead, Yvonne. Welcome the people this morning.
Good morning. Oh, Dana. Gavina. Oh, Fozzie.
Good Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Declare Victory. Who's on the line?
I was trying to say good morning to my girlfriend. What's up, Vaughn? Happy Friday. It's Good Friday. Oh, hey, Rochelle, you too. I love you.
Love you, Dee Dee.
Good morning. Happy Good Friday, everybody. This is Pastor Daryl. So good to be back.
Glad to have you back. Yes, Pastor Daryl. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Hey, happy Good Friday.
Pastor, two pieces and a biscuit and a pepper. Okay, I'm fine.
Yes, yes.
Don't forget that pepper.
Yes. How you doing, Pastor Daryl?
Doing well, feeling strong, feeling great, just happy to be among the brothers and sisters and looking forward to this morning.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Won't he did it? Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Yes, he won't he did it.
Yes. Thank you for your strength and your healing, Lord. Go ahead, Yvonne. Welcome, everybody. Yes.
Happy Friday, sister. Happy Friday. God is amazing. He's good all the time. He got our back. It's good to hear your sound this morning, sister.
Yes.
Hey,
morning,
reality.
Yes.
Yes, he is. All the time.
Praise
hey.
God.
Yes.
Praise That's God. What I'm talking about. That's what praise sound like. That's what giving it to him sound like. Yes. Hey, Foxy Mossy.
Hey, God. God, that was beautiful. Oh, my God. You gonna love to see y'all, too, so you can imagine.
Hey, now. Good morning, everybody. Happy Good Friday. Who else is on the line and want to say good morning?
Good morning. Good morning. It's Grateful Deborah Evans. Good morning. Happy Friday.
Hey, Grateful Deborah Evans. Happy Friday.
God bless you.
God bless you as well. It is a Good Friday. It is a favorite Friday. It is the day that, guess what? He said yes. He didn't say no. He said yes for you, for me, for all of us who is on the line and want to say thank you, Jesus, want to get a shout out and thank him for what he's done, what he did, and what he will continue to do, not just today, yesterday, but today and forevermore. Who's on the line this morning?
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, sis, this is Bev. Hey, Vaughn. Praise God for her.
Yes. Good morning, big sis. Yes, here. Indeed. Yvonne said, I ain't going to let no rock cry off of me. Come on, Yvonne. Tell him good morning.
Good morning. This is Kevin.
Good morning, Kevin. Happy Good Friday.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Good morning. Good morning. Blessed and favorite and highly received and celebrating Friday morning. Everybody.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Good morning, sister. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Yvonne.
What was you
I love
to say
you.
First? Good morning.
Good morning.
Anybody else want to say good morning? We're going to go ahead and get started. I want to hear the word. I don't just want to hear the last 7 cents. I want to hear the conclusion of the matter. Who else want to say good morning before we go ahead and get started?
Good morning. Happy Good Friday. This is Dedicated.
Hi, Dedicated. Yvonne, one more time, and we're going to go ahead and put your phone on mute, and then we're going to go ahead and get started. Got it. We praying for Foxy Moxie this morning.
Yeah.
Okay. Mona, what else she say? She's just her sister?
She said, yeah, that's my sister.
Okay. That's my sister too, Yvonne. Now, come on, we done did good this morning.
Go ahead. Amazing. I loved it.
Go ahead and put your phone on mute. Let's go ahead and do the greeting so we can get started. All right. Good morning, family. Happy Good Friday. Let's go ahead and get started. Before we move forward, I just remind us all to go ahead and mute your line. Good morning. Good morning. So this is Restored Resilient Rochelle, and that other great voice you heard is Yvonne Lachaud, and we were your greeters this morning. Thank you for joining us here on this Good Friday on Declare Victory. We are a prayer call that meets Monday through Friday, starting at 6 a.m. Pacific Standard, 8 a.m. Central Standard, and 9 a.m. Eastern Standard to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Thank you for joining us all month, where our theme has been entitled Suddenly. Each Declare has focused on the importance of expecting and how to properly respond to a suddenly move of God. Make sure you invite a friend so that they can be blessed as well. Excuse me. Make sure you continue to invite them, not just your friends, but your family as well. There are no announcements this morning for today, but we do know that today is Good Friday. The prayer request submitted by the app, let's just check really quick. And there are no prayer requests submitted by the app, but we're praying for Mona. We're praying for her strength and her healing. Prayer and corporate praise today will be brought to you by Pastor Mar. The declaration will be brought to you by Pastor Daryl. Then we will go right into closing comments hosted by the Declare. I'll repeat the order of the call. Prayer and corporate praise will be brought to you by Pastor Mar. The declaration will be brought to you by Pastor Durrell. The scripture for today, James 3 and 2. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Let me read that one more time. James 3 and 2. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his holy word. At this time, we ask and remind you to please put your phones on mute so we can protect the integrity of the call, that there are no distractions as we go to the throne of grace. I now pass the call to our prayer warrior. Have a good, great Friday, you all. Pastor Mar, you there? All right, it's Men's Day. Pastor Daryl, you want to pray? Or you know I'll stand in. I'll put out.
I don't mind at all. I don't mind at all.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. If you all would, if you would bow your heads and open your hearts on this morning as we approach the throne of grace. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord God. We thank you on this Good Friday, Lord God. This day that you made the decision, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord God, made the decision, Lord God, to fulfill the passion on this day, to allow the blood, the redeeming blood, Lord God, to not only allow the wiping away of our sins, to allow us to have fellowship with you, but the blood that just continues to give, shed, give power, Lord God, the life source of DNA of our Christendom, Lord God, your blood that allows us, Lord God, to be cleansed from anything from our past, and Lord God, to be able to walk in the courage of our present and embrace, Lord God, with confidence our future. Lord, I thank you on this morning that as we come, Lord God, to worship you, to glorify you, that Father, we thank you for each and every person, Lord God, that is joining the line on the day. We thank you for our leader, Deion Jackson, Lord God. Continue to undergird her, strengthen her, Lord God. Thank you for the season, the call that you have in and on her life. We thank you for the light that continues to shine in and through her, Lord God, and her family. We thank you, Lord God, for each and every person under the sound of my voice, Lord God, that is willing and, Lord God, able to be used as a vessel, Lord God, to be light bearers in this world, to be able to show that Jesus lives. And not only does he live, but he desires to live in you and live in me. Lord God, I thank you on this day that as we celebrate, Lord God, we celebrate just the completion of the passion, Lord God, that it's not the end, but it's the beginning. That we thank you, Lord, for all the love and sacrifice you shed on our behalf. Father, we thank you that we pray for Sister Mona, Lord God, through her healing journey, Father, that you allow her to even now be encouraged and strengthened, Lord God, that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, whatever the infirmity is, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, that she be healed, Lord God. Father, I pray that if there's anyone else on the line that right now, Lord, is challenged, Lord God, physically, emotionally, spiritually, Lord God, that Father, we institute that prayer and that declaration over their lives as well. Father, it's all about you on this day. We glorify you. We honor you. If there are any needs, Lord God, with anyone under the sound of my voice, Lord God, Father, right now, allow it to be manifested in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, again, for the blessing of life, Lord God. We thank you that you're allowing us to be partakers, stewards of your kingdom, Lord God, that we're able to share this good news that there is salvation, there is Savior, there is a Savior that loves us more, so much so that he allowed his life, Lord God. He gave his life so that we might be able to have life and life more abundantly. We pray for Pastor Marr, Lord God, that Father, that we thank you for his call. We thank you, Lord God, for his diligence, whatever it was that hindered him, that Lord God, you bring resolution right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you personally, Lord God, for this healing journey, a time of reflection, a time of healing, Lord God, a time of sacrifice, a time, Lord God, to be able to hear your voice even closer. That Father, no glory goes to me or anyone else, but all glory goes to you. And Father, as we prepare to unmute, Lord God, our phone, our Messiah, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, we come this day, Lord God, with a sounding horn, a sound, Lord God, that will fill heaven and earth. If everyone would mute yourself right now and fill this place right now, God, we thank you right now, Lord God, for what you're doing in this place. Lord, move right now, God,
Yes, Lord, and as we put our phones on hold, we glorify and thank you for all of the light bearers. I thank you for all the watchmen on the wall, Lord God. Thank you that we carry this gospel of the good news, Lord God, that there is salvation, there is hope, there is answers, Lord God, to the questions that no one has been able to answer. We thank you, Jesus. Have your way in and out of our lives. Father, as we bring this prayer to a close and we prepare for the receiving of your word, we pray that no man, no woman be glorified, but only you be glorified. We thank you, Jesus, that for the ultimate plan, Jesus, we thank you for the ultimate sacrifice. We're reminded on this Good Friday, no man taketh your life, but it's because of love you rendered it. Because of love you hung on the cross. Because of love, suddenly, you, Lord God, moved into the plan of salvation for each and every last one of us. Father, we glorify you. We honor you. And we give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' matchless and mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. And again, I simply want to say thank you all for your prayers. Thank you for the calls, for the text. Thank you, Sister Rochelle, for consistently checking in to make sure I was okay and reaching out. Just honored to be able to be here. Again, I want to salute, and we just again send love to the leader of Declare Victory, Ms. Dion Jackson. We thank you for your strength. We thank you that you not only talk the talk, but you walk the walk. We thank you for the love that you just continue to share to each and every last one of us. I'm grateful for each and every last one of you on this morning. Amen. I do understand that the theme on this month was suddenly to make sure that we expectedly and properly respond to a move of God, and I can't think of an even greater move of God other than the resurrection than here on Good Friday. Why do I want to talk about that on Good Friday? It's simply because on the cross, I'm pretty sure we're all familiar, but for some, if you're not familiar, introduced, there are seven famous sayings, and they're called the last seven words of Christ. It's where Jesus uttered seven statements that really summarizes all of the glory of this occasion that's symbolic on this Good Friday. But for time's sake on this morning, I simply just want to look at that sixth statement that he made on the cross. And it's recorded for us in the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter, verse number 30, where we'll find the sixth of his seven statements that he made from the cross. John, the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter, verse number 30. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. The Gospel of John, the 19th chapter, verse 30. It says, therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, the sixth word of Jesus on the cross, he made this sudden statement at the fulfillment of his passion on the cross. He makes this statement and he says, it is finished. So understand, my brothers and sisters, the phrase, it is finished in the Greek is really one word. And that one word is tetelestai. You see, tetelestai was used in that particular time in history. Tetelestai was used as a regular part of communication during the New Testament biblical time. And the reason this word tetelestai was used is because tetelestai means the completion of a transaction. You see, tetelestai, it meant that whatever the agreement was, that it has now been fully and finally fulfilled or completed. Or even if you think about this word, tetelestai, in the business realm. In the business realm, tetelestai was symbolic of merchants in which they were being paid in full. Now, understand on this morning that this word, tetelestai, it has so much depth and so much meaning, because tetelestai also was referenced as a happy word. You see, it was also used as a victorious word or a word of achievement, because whenever you saw the word tetelestai, whenever you heard the word tetelestai, realize that somebody was happy, all because something had been completed. I don't know about y'all, but I'm so glad on this Good Friday that we all heard the word that was issued out, and that was tetelestai. Because when Jesus uses this word, it is finished, or tetelestai, know that he's speaking it in volumes about a task that has been victoriously, successfully, and completely finished. But what was finished? I simply, on this morning, I want to share with you four principles that comes out of this word that I want to briefly share with you on this Good Friday. So the first principle that we have to uncover that I mentioned a moment ago is what was finished. Tetelestai means that something has been victoriously, successfully, and completely finished. But as our Christian faith, in our Christian walk, in our Christendom, the first principle we have to ask ourselves is, what was finished? Now, please, I want you to notice that Jesus did not say, I am finished, because in reality, Jesus was really just getting started, and he's still working in and through our lives today. But what Jesus didn't say, he did not say, I am finished, but what he said was, it is finished. He said suddenly, tetelestai. So then what exactly was paid for completely, victoriously, successfully, and fully? Well, my brothers and sisters, I need you to understand that the issue of the cross involves at its core the addressing of the problem of sin. You see, the cross is more than just a great example of sacrifice. The cross is more than just a decorated symbol of sacrifice that we hang around our necks, our arms, our wrists, and our ankles. The cross is more than simply a statement that is made of what a great leader would do for his cause in sacrificing for it for the midst of others. But that's not what this is all about, because Good Friday goes a lot deeper than that. It's because the cross has to do with, watch this,
the debt incurred by sin. Let me say that again. The cross has to do with the debt incurred by sin. You see, the human race, we incurred a debt because of sin that we, the human race, was unable to pay. For example, has anybody on this morning, and I don't want you to shout it out, I don't want to put your business out on the street, and I want to put mine, because I certainly have been in this situation, but has anybody on this morning ever incurred a debt that you were not able to pay? Maybe a credit card that where every month you would make the minimum payment while interest ate you up and you were never able to dive into the principal? Maybe it was Sally Mae and the student loans in which you were being bombarded just to be able to get an education to position and posture yourself to be able to be an added value to your community or to be able to pick up a trade. Have there been anybody on this morning who ever incurred a debt that you were not able to pay, in which you have paid on that debt for years, but it just won't go away? You see, sin is a debt incurred by men, which is a debt that they, you and I, are unable to pay. But the question that must be raised on this morning is, why is sin a debt that we cannot pay? The reason why sin is a debt we cannot pay is it's all because of the holiness of God. You see, the reason why sin is a debt that you and I cannot pay is all because the one who we owe is perfect. Therefore, since the one that we owe is perfect, realize that all the payments that you and I can make in order to get rid of this debt called sin, understand that we can never get rid of the debt, all because we cannot pay our way back into perfection. So the issue on the table, the issue that needed to be addressed, was that mankind, based on sin, has a debt that we are unable to pay. Now, I don't want you to miss that, because the reason I don't want you to miss that is because at one time in my life, I believed, as a matter of fact, most people don't believe that. They believe that when it comes to the debt of sin, that if I could give it enough time, that I can repay God. That if I can get involved in enough religion or religious activities that I can literally pay God back. That if I can go to church enough, if I go from when I'm a child up until when I'm getting ready to put in the grave, that should show God that I'm repaying the debt that I owe. If I can just be good enough, if I can just be a philanthropist and give enough to those who are in need, if enough of this and if enough of that, that if I can just do enough of it, then I can pay off this debt that I owe to a holy God. But the problem, Declare Victory, is that what some people don't understand, including at one time in my own life, I didn't really understand the fundamental principle, and that is, watch this, y'all, God does not grade on the curve. I need for us to really understand that. That's an important principle, because many of us, we are lowering the standard by thinking that we're doing great. But God says, I do not grade on the curve. What does grading on the curve mean, Pastor Belcher, to those that may not be familiar with that? You see, grading on a curve in school meant that what the teacher is going to do, it's going to pull all the scores of the students and then find out based on all the scores what the average is. And then using the average as the high score, which hopefully automatically elevated you, so now you would get a passing grade. But there was always that one person in the classroom, Rochelle. There was always one person in the classroom, Dee Dee. There was always one person in the room, Yvonne, one person, Dion, who would consistently go out there and make 100, and they would destroy the average. And they kept messing up the curve. You notice I didn't call my name in that group. Hallelujah. But what I want you to realize on this morning, declare victory, is that God does not grade on the curve. He does not reduce our debt. And the reason he doesn't reduce our debt is all because of his nature, because his nature is perfect. So since God is perfect, his nature is perfect, something had to address the debt of sin incurred by mankind in general, as well as every individual to come. But why did Jesus then have to say, it is finished, tetelestai? It's because up until Jesus died on the cross, the debt of sin that incurred by man, that it was not finished. Now, all the people who throughout history were paying on this debt ever since Adam blew it in the Garden of Eden, that man created whole systems that had been set up to pay on this debt, that lambs, that pigeons, that bulls, that birds would be brought to the altar to put something on this debt. They would try to pay the actual minimum while interest of this debt was incurring, allowing you to never address the principal. And all the lambs, all the bulls, all the pigeons, all they did was to delay foreclosure. All because sin is a debt that we cannot pay. For example, has anybody other than me, has anybody ever paid your bills just in the nick of time? Man, I remember that when I was young. I remember we were freshly married, and you know, at that time, career was just getting started, and we were robbing Peter to pay Paul. Anybody other than me ever paid your bills at one point in your life just in the nick of time? You see, what I'm talking about, if we can be real, if I'm talking about just before the lights were scheduled to go out, that you paid, what's the past due? Just before the gas bill was about to be cut off, you asked the gas company, what's the best due, or can I set up installment payments? Just before the furniture was put out the street, just before the mortgage had been reversed and they were getting ready to reclaim your house, had there been anybody throughout the time of your life who's ever paid something on it, in which you paid it just in the nick of time? Didn't realize that every year within biblical times, even within our times, that would be the Day of Atonement, because up until Jesus died, they functioned, we functioned, they functioned on a layaway plan, just trying to pay something on the sin. Can I put installment payments? What is the past due? How much the minimum I can pay in order for my life to not get cut off? But the problem is, when are we going to pay this debt off? When are we going to stop having bill collectors, having the enemy reminding us of where we fail, of how much we owe, of how our life looks hopeless, of how we will never come out of this debt situation? When are we going to pay this debt off? And understand, with all the animal slain, with all the two pieces and a biscuit and a pepper, all the sacrifices given, payments, installment made, that men and women did not seem to understand that sin is a debt that you cannot pay. Because once you've committed your first sin, that you are no longer perfect. And I believe the word of God said, all has sinned and come short of the glory. And everything you do after that doesn't cancel out the debt. Because sin is a penalty that you and I cannot pay. So that's why when Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the Messiah, said on the cross, tetelestai, it was because it is finished. It has been paid in full, meaning that the debt of sin has been victoriously, successfully, and completely paid in full.
and that at the cross, at its core, is that the issue of sin was addressed by the death of Jesus. The second principle is, what then was the payment? What then was the payment if our sins have been victoriously, successfully, and completely paid in full? The payment for the debt that we incurred in sin, that Jesus Christ yelled to tell us that he paid in full, was the death of Christ. Because he said on this Good Friday, it is finished, to tell us. Then he gave up his spirit and he died. Now, the Bible makes it clear in the Word of God in Ezekiel 18 and 20 that the soul that sinneth shall die. And you'll also find in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. What I need us to understand is that physical death, which is the separation of the spirit soul from the body, but spiritual death, watch this, is the separation of the soul from God. So sin produced a debt that was so great that while man alone owned the debt, only God can pay it. I don't want you to miss that. It's because while we own the debt, only God has enough to pick up the charge. So realize that sin is our bill, and that sin is not God's bill, because God is perfect, God is holy, so God is not sin, but sin is our bill. But the problem with this bill is that you and I don't have what it takes in order to pick up the tab. So realize that sin is our problem alone, but only God can pay it. But we have a problem here, brothers and sisters, because if the penalty for sin is death, and all of us have sinned, but we agree that none of us can pay the tab, then how in the world can a tab be paid by God, who cannot die, since God is a spirit? Is anybody understanding that question? Let me say it again. How in the world can a tab be paid by God, who cannot die, since God is a spirit? That if the penalty of sin is death, according to the Word of God, and since we have all sinned, according to the Word of God, then you and I, we all die, and the proof of us being a sinner is that one day you and I are all going to die. That if the penalty of sin is death, and you and I cannot pick up that payment, then the one who can afford to pick up that tab is God. But God is a spirit. He cannot die. Then how in the world will this bill ever be paid? It's simple, declare victory. God then must become a man. And that is what we call the incarnation. You see, the incarnation is what we celebrate during Christmas Eve. It's where God the Father fertilized the egg of a virgin who was Mary, a human mother, so that what we have born in Bethlehem was the God-man. Fully God, for God was his father, but also fully human because Mary was his mother, able to die as a man but have the perfection of God. And thus, what we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the one-of-a-kind Son of God. Did y'all miss that? The one of a kind. Can't nobody else duplicate him. Can't nobody else replace him. Can't nobody else equal him. He stands alone. His name is greater than any name that we could ever call on. He is the one of a kind Son of God. Let's go to John 3:16. Many of us are very familiar with that passage of scripture. For it reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You see, the Word says that for God so loved the world that he gave his, watch this, only begotten, which means one of a kind. There is no equal. There is nobody who can equal him. There is no other God that can equal him. He is one of a kind never seen before, and it will never be seen again, because outside of Jesus Christ, where God looked at our bill and said, "You cannot pay this, therefore I'm going to pay it, and the way that I'm going to pull this off is that I'm going to become like you, only I'm still going to be a man,
but I'm also going to be a God man. And on the cross, that the death of Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, the God man, fully paid God for the sins of men, which required death, since the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Therefore, death had to occur on this beautiful Good Friday, because the payment for the debt of sin incurred by man was death. So on the cross, God took the penalty so that he could love the sinner, pay for the sins, and satisfy his wrath and express his love without compromising his nature. Let me say that again, because if anybody else ever asks you, why do we call it Good Friday at the actual crucifixion of the cross where Jesus yelled, to Tetelestai, and his seven words, into your hands I commit my spirit, Lord. On the cross, God took the penalty so he could love the sinner, pay for the sin, and satisfy his wrath, and express his love without compromising his nature. That on the cross, God becomes a man in the person of Jesus Christ. He died because he had no debt to pay himself. So that's why it's so important for Christ to prove his sinlessness. For if he were to sin, if he were to have ever sinned, he would have incurred your debt and ours. But since he was perfect, he could incur your debt for you, for me, for he had no debt of his own. Because the Bible says on the cross, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no to be sin for us, that we might become righteousness of God in him. For he made him who knew no sin for us, that we might become righteousness of God in him. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might in exchange become the righteousness of God in him. So in order to satisfy a holy God, you then thus have to be as good as a holy God is, which means a holy God is perfect. And I believe in, for me and everyone under the sound of my voice, there is nobody perfect on this line. But in order to pay that bill, which means you got to be as good as God, because God, because of his nature, he demands perfection. So understand, Jesus the Christ lived 33 years perfectly. No one second. And no one day did he ever think or do anything or act that was unacceptable to the Father. And he did that for 33 years. So on this Good Friday, he who knew no sin became sin for us. That is, he became the substitute for the sins of every man, woman, boy, and girl, whoever has been or whoever will be born. That what happened on the cross, he knew no sin became sin for us, that he may become the righteousness of God. Now, let me explain how this works real quick. Because it's like you having $100,000 worth of debt, bills that you cannot pay, but then somebody calls you up suddenly out of the blue and tells you that another person has credited to your bank account $100,000. Somebody right now, I need to claim that in the name of Jesus right now, that it's a credit that was removed from their overabundance and moved to your lack of abundance. It is a credited to you. Then they take from them and give to you because they recognize you can't pay it on your own. Now watch this. On the cross, two things happen, not one. Because on the cross, Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins, which was death, physical, and spiritual. But that's only half of that which happened. Here's what God does to a person who accepts Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. What he will do is he will take the 33 years of Jesus' perfected life, and he will credit his life to your account. He looks at your sin, he takes from your account, he looked at Jesus' perfection and he credits that to your account. That means that you're not only no longer in debt, but because of the blood, somebody ought to be shouting on the other line. I know you're muted. You got a perfect
surplus. You got overflow because of the blood that has been applied to your life. You are walking in overflow, peace, love, joy, power, perfection, you in favor, increase. You are walking in a perfect surplus because God removes your sin. He credits the righteousness of Jesus Christ to your account. So the death of Christ is the only form of payment that God accepts. Neither is there salvation in any other God or any other person, for there is no other name under heaven given among men that you must be saved other than through the name and the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Third point, we're going to get ready to wrap this up, is then what is the proof of payment? What's the proof of payment? Whenever you go to pay for something, you want proof that the payment was made and that a payment was accepted. And you should ask for proof. Yes, I want a receipt. For example, whenever you go to a restaurant, they will oftentimes say when it's time to pay, the yellow copy is yours and the white copy is ours. Understand that the white copy says that payment was made. The yellow copy says that you can now prove it. You can prove that the white copy was given because you possess the yellow copy, and they both say the same thing. That's what's called a receipt. So thus, how do we know, declare victory, that we haven't made a mistake making it all on Jesus Christ? How do we know that it ought not to be Muhammad or Buddha or any other religion or even some religion we create on our own? How do we know? What receipt do we have? Well, the receipt that payment was made in full is all predicated on the resurrection. You see, the resurrection on early Sunday morning, it was places Jesus Christ in a class all by himself, because you cannot place a living faith in a dead Savior. Let me say that again for those of you all that will not acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God and Lord and Savior. You cannot place a living faith in a dead Savior. 1 Corinthians 15:12-17, it reads, "Now if Christ preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he has raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. In fact, the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sin." Paul says in this pericope text in 1 Corinthians 15:12-17, he says, if the resurrection is not true, then we are still in our sins, which means the cross without the resurrection is just a waste of time. Because to celebrate Jesus dying and not believing that he arose means that then we can all go home. 1 Corinthians 15:17-19, it says, "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life we only have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." What Paul is saying is that we're still in our sins, and we are of all men the most miserable, because we have declared that Jesus has risen when he was dead, and a dead Savior, as I shared before, can't help anybody. But the receipt that the payment for our sins were made in full is in the resurrection. In your own time, I want you to read John 20:4-7. It talks about where John and Peter went to the tomb, and they saw the face cloth, which had been lying on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but folded in the place by itself. So then the other disciple, John, who had first come to the tomb, entered, and he also saw and he believed. So John came in and saw the linen wrappings, saw that the headband, and saw the headband was not with the linen wrappings. And he saw that because all he is looking at is the cloth. He is not seeing Jesus, but he's seeing the cloth. And he said, "When I saw the cloth, I knew that Jesus had arisen." But what was it about this cloth that was so potent in John's mind that he knew the resurrection was true? You see, when John died on the cross, he had a linen cloth around his loins and cloth rolled around his head.
But if thieves came in and took him, first of all, it's unlikely they would have undressed him first. But even if they undressed him and stole the body, he came out nude. You would not see, as John said, the linen cloth still tied in a roll that it was when it was around his head. And you would not have seen the linen cloth, the turban separated from the linen cloth, because his head is up here and his body is down there. But John said, when I saw the linen here and the body was not here and that the turban was still attached in a ball, I knew that the only way that could have happened is Jesus Christ rose right through his own clothes and is now alive. And when he saw the cloth, he believed. Because the resurrection is a receipt. That on Friday, this Good Friday, Jesus died. But early Sunday morning, he rose. So my brothers and sisters, the resurrection is our receipt. The fourth and last thing is with all this information, what do we do with it? Jesus said in John 19:30 that it is finished, tetelestai. When John said that, when he saw it, he believed. And that sin is a debt that we cannot pay. That God will not credit your account until you declare bankruptcy within his kingdom. You know, when folks declare bankruptcy, it's when they made the determination and the decision that they have a debt that they're unable to pay. They cannot pay. And you declare bankruptcy when all hope is lost. And you have thrown in the towel and you say, there is absolutely no way that I can pay this debt. I'm going to declare chapter 7 or chapter 11 bankruptcy because I can't pay it. But the problem is, as long as you think you can, then God will not credit your account because you believe that you can do this without him. You see, bankruptcy is symbolic of throwing in the financial towel. And most people, even people on this morning, here on this morning, are hoping that somehow that their good life, good works, being nice, going to church, and a million other things, that God will credit their account. But realize that God only accepts one form of payment, and that is the death of Jesus Christ as payment for our sin. And that's all he will accept. Why? It's because your good works, as good as they are, Jesus died so that he could take care of it all by himself. And he doesn't need you or me or us messing it up. It's because the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is so complete that only he can say, tetelestai, paid in full. So with that being said, as we prepare for love, life, and victory, what must we do to believe? What does believing mean? It means three things. Number one, believing assumes knowledge. You must know that you are a sinner and that you cannot save yourself. Understand, religion can't save you, going to church can't save you, reading your Bibles can't save you, you being born in a church can't save you, your father and mother can raise you in a church, they can bring you all your meals where you eat out of the church, they can let you work in the church, they can bring a bed and let you sleep in the church, they can dig a hole and let you die in the church, but all of this cannot save you. But because if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to die at the church and wake up eternally separated from him. The second thing we must do, you must be convinced that this is true. You must not only know it, but you must be convinced that it's true, that you cannot save yourself. That's why it's only through the death of Jesus Christ. So you must have a conviction in your faith about it. Number three, you must make a commitment to it. Not just a commitment to change your life and start doing better. No, that's a commitment to good works. You must make a commitment to trust Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins in exchange for eternal life. You must believe that the debt that we could not pay has been paid through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that it's because of him we believe in faith, we will be able to shout tetelestai over our spiritual and physical lives, all because Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It is finished. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we not only be hearers, but on this Good Friday, we are reminded, we have been enlightened that our debt, the penalty of sin that we could not pay for ourselves, that we incurred, that it is now finished. It is fully, victoriously,
and finally paid in full. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that is on this call, that may be ear hustling this call, that Lord, if they have not accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, the time is now. That Father, they began to confess with their mouths that Jesus is Lord, believe in their heart with a spiritual, with a holy conviction, believing in their faith that Jesus is the Son of God, that they are saved. Father, I thank you as we celebrate this Good Friday leading into Passion Week. Keep us reminded of the ongoing love, the blood that was shed that continues to give now and forever for the cleansing of our sins, that it has been marked to tell us die, paid in full. Father, we'll forever give your name all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. It's in your darling, matchless Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, my brothers and sisters. I pray that this word was a blessing to you as it was to me. Amen. And at this time, we're going to unmute the calls. And if there's anyone who has not had an opportunity to say good morning, amen, we're going to ask that you do so at this time.
Good morning. Happy Friday. It's sunshine.
Good morning, sunshine. Amen. Happy Good Friday. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Good morning. This is wonderful. Great declaration.
Amen. God bless you, wonderful. To God be the glory. Amen. Anyone else?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Who was that? I heard a king on the line first. We'll take our men first. Who was that again?
Good morning.
Yes, good morning, sir. Hello? And what's your name? Yes, can you hear us?
My name is Lavelle. Just thankful for the word that I heard this morning. God bless everybody on the line.
God bless you, King. Good to see you, hear from you, Lavelle. Amen. We're so happy to have you part. Anyone else? Amen. I heard one of our queens on the line as well.
That was Kat. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Kat. Always good to hear from you. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Good morning. It's Sabrina. Beautiful declaration.
Good morning, Sabrina. To God be the glory. It's always great to hear from you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen.
On this morning. Good morning, this Yvette. Happy Good Friday.
Amen. I heard Yvette. Amen. Good to have you. And who was the other voice? I'm sorry.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. Good morning to each and every last one of you. Again, anyone else before we go to Love Life Fellowship? Anyone have any comments? Amen. We're going to open that up right now. Is there anyone that have anything they want to share? Amen. Anything they want to impart into the people of God? Anyone? Amen. 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 Well, happy Good Friday, everyone. We are grateful for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And
Pastor Darrell.
Yes.
I'm sorry, sweetie. I was trying to get off of mute because, you know, I'm at the school. I'm at the preschool. Nobody has gotten here yet on this Good Friday. I'm hoping parents kept them home and prayed over them. No, I'm just playing. But your word was so full, and I was sitting there going, ooh, ouch. When you're talking about that paid in full and how we, not we, I'm talking about me, we be getting these credit cards, and they be looking good to us, right?
Yep.
But you forget, you can charge them up all you want. They're going to go through, but you got to pay that. Make arrangements. Mm-hmm. So I have to laugh because at 56, can somebody mute their line? At 56, raising my children, I remember making some arrangements. And I'm going to be honest,
yep.
Two things I don't worry about. And that's PG&E, because I'm going to do what I got to do. I'm not going to be cold. So we've made arrangements. And then that old raggedy IRS. I can't stand the IRS. But so I'm claiming it. It's going to be paid in full. It's already paid in full. So thank you for your share. I love you, man of God. And it's always good to just hear you. So thank you, sir. Happy Good Friday. I love you.
I love you, too. Thank you for sharing that. You ain't by yourself. Sally Mae, get out of my business. But no, amen. We are grateful. Thank you for sharing that, Dee Dee. Anyone else? Anyone else? Any men on the line as well? Amen on this Men's Friday, Good Friday.
Well, hold on, Pastor Durrell. No, it's Rochelle. I ain't no man. But happy Good Friday again. Excellent word. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, such a befitting word. I mean, everything. I was just like, I don't know, Sally Mae, girl. I ain't invited you over here. Who is you? And OCD? Is that who is that? OCD? The IRS and the taxes? But to God be the glory. I am so glad that Jesus did pay the debt. And I'm glad that I know that he paid the debt. Not Amen. Just assume, not just bypass, not, yeah, he did it because my mama told me. No, I know mm-hmm. he did it because I know what I word. I've seen him work. I've experienced Amen. Him work. And I trust him. I know I don't serve a dead God. So thank you, sir. You did your thing today. So, Didi, a peace on us. A peace on us.
Well, to God be the glory, but you know what? I am on a soft food diet until June. So y'all hold off on that.
We got you. Know it's coming.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you, Rochelle. Thank you, Didi. Anyone else?
I would just say that my understanding and everything that I've dealt with my Lord and Savior. I spent 28 years in prison. I've been on 17 months.
Amen.
There was a time where the doors were completely closed. The tunnel was completely dark and there was no light. There was no anything. And when I really truly embraced my Lord and Savior and began to kind of accept what was going on, what he was trying to do with me, I literally watched the locks come loose. I watched the hinges come off. I watched the windows open, and I watched the power and the glory of what God could do for me. And I saw it firsthand through my release. And then when I got out here, because of what he had been doing for me, I wasn't in awe of what I was seeing out here. And it was because of him that I was walking in his space and where he needed me to go, to where I didn't fear being gone for 3 decades and in awe of what I was seeing, and knew his power and his glory and what his purpose was for me to be out here working with these kids and trying to prevent them Amen. From going through the same trials that I had experienced. So I know for a fact that he is a living God. He is in me, on me, around me every single day of my life. Mm-hmm. And I thank him all day, every day.
Man, God bless you, King. I really am grateful for your testimony. Thank you. Congratulations on not only your release for these, I believe, 18 months that you shared, but God putting you to work and you solidifying that faith by giving to others. I do want to ask, what's your name, brother?
Lavelle.
Lavelle, we are grateful for you. If it's okay with you, Lavelle, can I pray for you real quickly?
Sure.
Amen. Father, we thank you right now for Lavelle. We are grateful, Lord God, for his release. We're even more grateful that he's taking, Lord God, his path and being able to share it with young people, with all that he comes in contact with. Lord, I thank you that you've called him to a season as this. We thank you for his transparency. We thank you, Lord God, that your arms are wrapped completely around and in him in every area of his life. Father, we pray that doors, Lord God, would continue to open for him, Lord God. They would continue to share the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ to all they come in contact with. Father, we come against and we push a hedge bush of protection around him, that no weapon formed against him, no influences, Lord God, no spirits, Lord God, no nothing will come against him. Even though they form, they shall not prosper. And Lord, we just solidify, we cover him with the blood of Jesus, Lord God, and thank you for the life, Lord God, and the many lives that he is imparting, impacting, and empowering through his testimony. Lord, we'll forever give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, Lavelle. Amen. We love you so much, man. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Amen.
Thank you Anyone very much else? For having me.
Amen, brother. Amen. Anyone else? Thank you, Lavelle, for that. Anyone else?
Amen. Well, the time is drawing nigh, and I know that on the West Coast, many of you are getting your day started. Amen. Here on the East Coast, we're in the middle of it. So again, if there's not anyone else, amen, we are going to pray the prayer of benediction. Again, thank you all. Pray for your pastors. Pray for your family. Pray for yourselves as well as we celebrate this Good Friday and this Passion Week, that we got receipts, y'all. We got receipts that not only did he die, but he rose with all power. Amen.
Father, yeah, we thank so you. I got right. My confirmation number. Look, we got my confirmation number. You know, you get that confirmation number after you pay the bill. Yes, it's confirmed. It's done.
Hey,
listen, you were saying that even in your declaration, I was saying that. I was like, no, that confirmation number you be waiting to write down. That you get, I proof that you paid it. Yes. Oh God.
Amen.
Thank you for your declaration, brother. One thing I love that we can hold on to is you reminded us to hold on to what he did and repent and to understand that it's done. You know, don't skip that part. You know, trying to run out there and just trying to, you know, serve and think, you know, just do everything without knowing that it's already paid, y'all. You know, I just was thinking about that in that way.
Amen.
You know, hold on, know that. And just know that some good work you want out to do is just to bring people closer to him, you know, to let them know the goodness of God. That's just, you know, my charge for me. So thank you.
Amen.
I just love your declaration. You had me just,
that is,
it was just so good. So good, man.
Amen.
And so, Belle, so glad you're on. You know I love you, Belle.
Amen. Go ahead,
Sister Yvonne. I just want to say something about a confirmation number because I pay a lot of bills over the phone, right? And at the end of, oh, can I do anything else for you? Yes, you can. You can give me my confirmation number. You know, a lot of them say that. Yeah, a lot of them say that. You know, like, I'm going to forget my confirmation number. No.
They do.
Yes,
they
amen.
Do.
We got to keep our receipt and our confirmation number. That's our ticket. Amen. Glory to everybody on this Good Friday. May God bless you guys. If you're traveling out of state, go to and for and put a hedge of protection around you and your family. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love it, everybody, because I'm telling you, and then I'm going to open up, and then we're going to pray. Amen. But what I love is that whenever they ask me for my receipt and they say, you want a printed copy or email or text, I say both. Because not only do I want to save life, I want to change life. Not only do I want to know that he is raised with all power, I want to make sure that his power is in me. I want both forms. Don't send me just one. Give me. Is there anybody feel like me on this morning? Do you want a printed copy? Or is, I want both.
Yes.
Give God some praise on this line right now.
Yes.
Amen. Bless his name right now. I want both.
Thank
amen.
You,
I want everything
yes.
you got up in
I
this place right now.
Hallelujah.
I want to change life. I want to sustain life. I want a life of power. I want a life of forgiveness. I want it all right now.
I want
it
all.
Right now in the name of Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you right now for confirmation, Lord God. We thank you for not either or, but we thank you for all, Lord God. We thank you that in this death and resurrection, Lord God, we thank you for a changed life, a life of love, a life of forgiveness, a life of peace, a life displaying your power, a life of giving, Lord God. Father, we don't ask either or. God, whatever you have for us, we want it all. But Lord, in our desire to want it all, we also would give it all. We give you our lives. We give you our hearts. We give you our souls. Everything within us, we commit unto you. For we declare bankruptcy on our own will. But Father, credit your riches in our lives. Father, we thank you for this Good Friday, this Passion Week. Lives be changed. Hearts, Lord God, be mended. Thank you for your power, the resurrection power, not just doing resurrection Passion Week, but every day of our lives. Suddenly move, Lord God, like never before. And God, we will forever give your name all the glory, all the honor, certainly all the praise. It's in your darling, matchless Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Somebody shout, I want it all.
Amen. I want it all.
God bless you all. God bless you all, many of you. Have a beautiful
Pastor
day.
Girl, yeah. I want it all.
Before you hang up, LaVelle, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Who invited you to the call? We welcome you. Who invited you to the call?
A friend of mine, Yvette, she invited me.
That's Amen. What's up. Come on, Vet. I'm the
Come on,
Vet. Right. You're doing the missionary
Let's
work.
Come to Vet. And he got
yes.
testimony. We came up
what
together.
I want to say.
We just seen it happen.
Hey,
that's what's up.
Real.
Yeah. So, LaVelle, what
I'm
saying, we will.
I tell people all the time, God is the glory to my miraculous story, because without him, this would not truly be happening. So
that's a blessing. That's
truly
a blessing.
Walking in his favor all day, every day. And my mission is truly out here to help these kids and motivate and inspire. Let them know that the path that they headed it's almost like what God
has already paved our path for us, and he continues to keep telling us why
your phone is muffled a little bit, LaVelle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your phone was muffled a little bit, but we thank you for the work. We know when you proclaim that Christ, we just want to make sure that you know him for yourself, that your bank account is open, that you're not depositing checks through somebody else's account, that you've received
absolutely.
And you've confessed that Jesus Christ is your Lord, then we know. You can cash your
he
own and you can receive.
Me and my wife just got baptized.
That's what's up.
Hallelujah. Together.
Come on, Jesus.
Amen. God
just
want to
make
was,
sure. Yes.
Yeah, that it's was my right. question for you too, brother. Have you accepted Christ? But it sounds like you have, brother. We are grateful for you.
Just
hallelujah.
Not to cut you off, but me and my wife were baptized together 2 weeks ago, and just to show you how God worked, you know, when you get baptized, you don't know who at the church is going to be getting baptized with you. And when we walked out there, we were the only two people, and so it was just truly a euphoric moment in terms of just me and my wife being baptized with nobody else. And we knew that was God and what he was doing for us, to kind of move everybody out the way and allow us to share that moment together. So trust and believe, my faith is grounded, and I am doing the work that I'm supposed to be doing at this moment right now.
Amen. Well, brother, we are grateful for that, your testimony. We wanted to make sure, because everything would be amiss if you had not, but we're grateful for that. Everyone on the line, just for 1 minute, and I know we got to go, but 1 minute, can we just give God some praise, amen? Because I got to sense heaven and earth right now.
heaven is rejoicing right now, and it'd be a shame if we're not. Just in 1 minute. Come on, let's bless God right now. Just 1 minute. 1 minute, bless him right now. Give him the glory.
For your glory.
Thank you, God.
Thank you,
God.
Thank you, getting ready to God. We know the best is yet to come. Hallelujah, God. Have your way.
Thank you, Pastor Daryl. Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Bless you guys.
Glory
go with
glory be to God. Thank you. You guys have a good weekend. Hallelujah.
Yes,
glory
yes.
be to
Hallelujah.
God. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.